just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Good morning, radio listeners. God bless you this morning on this cool, cold, crispy morning. And we just bless God, because if you're feeling that cool air, that means you are here, you're alive, and you're on this side of heaven. So we praise and thank God for another day's journey. I'm your guest host, Reverend June Addison, sitting in for Sister BJ, and we continue to pray and lift her up. We thank God for each and every one of you that are tuned in this morning. God is giving us a very interesting word to look at this morning, and it's going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. I pray you have your Bibles, your pencil and paper, that as we walk through this word, you will be able to go back and read and study and take it in some more and see what God has to say to you further in this word. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, from the King James Version, and I'm going to read you another version as well, amplified, so that we get the full understanding of what Paul, Apostle Paul, is saying. Verse 7, King James, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? How, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" And those are the questions we're going to delve into. God is calling our attention to, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? And from the Amplified Translation, it says, "For who regards you as superior, or what sets you apart as special? What do you have that you did not receive? And if in fact you received it from God, why do you boast as if you had not received, or that you gained it on your own?" And Paul is talking to the church there at Corinth. He's talking to us this morning of the deception, the overall thought that we're going to be looking at this morning is deception. Deception, whether it's of our own doing or whether it's from the enemy, that we have not received what God wants us to have. That we have not received the deception now that he brings, and that sometimes we do ourselves, is we don't have everything that God wants us to have in order to operate in ministry, function in ministry, to live the godly Christian holy life, to live and be a witness in his kingdom. Listen to this translation from the NLT. "For what gives you the right to make such a judgment that you have not received? What do you have that God has not given you? And if everything you have is from God, why act like or act as though it was not a gift from God?" my brothers and sisters, the deception that the enemy is attempting to bring to the believers, and even some believers, especially our baby believers, just coming into the body, just coming into the faith, that the enemy wants to come in and cause us to think we don't have what God has given us. We don't have what God wants to give us. So the Lord is sending the word today, deception. Either self-deception or deception of the enemy. And again, I want to press and make clear that it is he is bringing the deception that you do not have all that God has given you, whether it's spiritual or in the natural. But in particularly the spiritual. And if we have everything that God wants us to have, is it not a gift from him that we did not get it on our own? We did not get salvation on our own. We did not get Jesus Christ coming into our lives and living through us and we being witnesses for him. No, we received from God, and it is a gift that God gives us. You know, there is a spirit that is afoot in the body of Christ that the devil, the enemy, and again, self-deception have come to deceive us into thinking, we're going to go to Genesis 3 in a minute, into thinking we don't have everything God wants us to have. And do you not know that so many people have gone in debt, are entangled with debt, they're entangled with lack of confidence, they're entangled with so many things that hinders and halts and destroys the confidence of the believer, because it causes the deception, it causes us to believe we don't have everything that God wants us to have, or that God, when we were born again, did not give us everything that we needed to be in this, to be in his kingdom, to be called the sons and daughters, to be used of him mightily and boldly. We're going to go to familiar grounds, and that's Genesis chapter 3. We know that. Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve and Adam was deceived by the serpent. And he came to Eve and he said, you know, she said, you know, God said, we cannot eat of this tree. We cannot eat of this fruit. And here the enemy, the serpent, he says, did God really say that? Eve said, if we eat of it, we will die. And the enemy said, surely you won't die. He began and brought into a perfect environment, the garden, deception. And so Eve and Adam were deceived into thinking God did not give them everything they needed to live perfectly in the garden. Because he told them, he said, for God, verse 5, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The enemy deceived them into thinking God didn't want them to know that they were already who he made them to be. Isn't that something? Oh, my God, that's what he does and operates in our lives, to cause us to lose confidence, to cause us to doubt, to cause us to waver on our salvation, on our gifts and calling. That God, he didn't really say that, did he? He didn't really mean that you were going to die if you ate of the fruit. So Adam and Eve were deceived into thinking that God had not already given them everything. They had possession of everything, dominion over everything in the garden, except that one thing. And that one thing is what the enemy, the serpent, used to deceive Adam and Eve. And many times it's that one thing in our lives that he will use to cause us to be deceived into thinking, oh, God didn't mean that word. God didn't really mean that scripture. God didn't really say you couldn't do that. God didn't really say you shouldn't do that. And so he works the work of evil, the works of him, the devil, in our lives to pull us away, draw us away from what God has given us from our natural birth, as well as when we were born again into the body of Christ. And we can go back even further in Isaiah, when Lucifer began to say, I will be. He self-deceived himself. He deceived his own self into thinking he could be as God, or that he could elevate himself above God. So deception then is part of his nature. It's part of Satan's character. It's part of what he uses against the body of Christ, the people of God, the sons and daughters of God. And deception is as slick and as sometimes even unnoticeable as a serpent, who can slither in unnoticed, quiet, crawling on his belly, so unawares. Deception can creep in. His nature is to deceive. And so he uses the opportunity, that one opportunity he may have, that one thing, that one door that we might open, unawares or awares, open in our lives, and he comes in and causes us, deceives, to think, cause us to think that God has kept something from us or from you, that he has not given you what you need to live a life of holiness and righteousness and godliness, no compromise, to live a walk before God circumspectly. Oh, my brothers and sisters, two ways that the enemy uses that sometimes we're not even aware. One of the things he does, and this thing is operated by a spirit of performance. A spirit of performance. You see, the spirit of the performance is doing what you think will please pastor, what you think will please men. And when I say men, I'm talking about all genders. Performing what will please them. Notice I did not say please God. But that will perform. We will perform. Some will perform before man to get their approval. You know, church, You know the word. You know how to praise God. You know how to say hallelujah. You know how to lift hands. You know how to shout. But is it of the Holy Spirit? Is the action we do in church, all that we say we do to praise and worship God, is it Holy Spirit filled? Is it Holy Spirit guided? Or is it performance? We know churchy. We can be churchy. Talk the church language. But performance come from thinking you have not received what God has already given you. And he has given us the Holy Spirit that we may worship him, as the scripture says, in spirit and in truth. We don't have to act like church. We don't have to act churchy. We don't have to act like we praising God. We don't have to act like we don't have what God has given us so that we can, of the truth, praise and worship him. Not perform, but guided by the Holy Spirit. So the act of performing then is it operates off the spirit, of pride and arrogance and boastfulness. Paul used the word boastful. It's a spirit that oftentimes operates out of self-effort, because to perform, there must be a self-effort. If it is not of the Holy Spirit, it's self-effort. In other words, it's flesh. It comes from the place of our flesh. It comes from the place that we can do this on our own. I can sing. I'm in the choir. I can sing. Some people really, I don't need rehearsal, or I don't need to work, and be as a choir, not individualized, not out of self-effort, but to the glory of God. So performance it operates by a spirit of pride, of arrogance, and boastful. It operates out of self-effort, out of the flesh. Because God hasn't given me a gift, so I perform a gift as if I've received this gift from God. Now, there are talents, there are skills, there are abilities, but spirit-led gifting and calling does not operate out of performance when it's from God. That's what the enemy, the serpent, wanted to do to Adam and Eve. He wanted them to operate separate and apart from God. He wanted them to operate out of their own selves. He wanted them to disobey God and do their own thing. Go ahead, eat the fruit. Go ahead, eat. He said you could eat all the fruit. Eat all the fruit. You're in control. He gave you dominion. So his nature is to come in and be deceptive and deceive us, and we deceive ourselves many times into thinking we can operate separate from God. Or separate from his word. He gave Adam and Eve his word, do not eat. He has given us his word, the Bible, scripture. And we ought not, cannot operate apart from his word. Let's go look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. My brothers and sisters, can you see that today? Can you see how the enemy wants to come in and with deception and cause us to think we can operate separate from God, separate from his Holy Spirit, apart from his word? Look at Ephesians 3 and 19. What does it say? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. That is what the enemy comes to attack. He comes with deception to attack, with the knowledge, to attack our knowledge, Christ's love for us, that we are filled with all the fullness of God. Where do you need to perform? Why do you think God did not give you everything you need to serve him, worship him, be a witness for him, love people, to love, to do all that he's asked us to do and require of us as his people, as Christians, as his sons and daughters. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, all means all. Full means full. How awesome is that? That we do not need to perform, but be led by the Holy Ghost, be led by the Holy Spirit. Ask God for his presence, not our self-effort presence, not us. Not doing what we think will please men, will please pastor, will please others. And so we are deceived. The enemy wants to deceive us into thinking we don't have what God have given us, that we may be able to genuinely, spirit-filled, serve God. Love one another. Love God. Love Jesus. Do his will. Be obedient. When there's performance, it opens the door to conforming. Performance turns into conforming. You say you're a Christian with your mouth, you go to church. You do this and this. You do all the, you even serve in ministry. You're faithful. You're there always. But as soon as worldliness, as soon as the flesh want to rise up, as soon as the devil bring ungodliness in our face, do you not know we all, some of us conform? Go, you walk in the break room and they're laughing at somebody's ungodly, dirty, nasty joke. And so that person laugh and join in with them. That's conforming. You know you are godly, holy, righteous individual. You know that God lives in you. Jesus lives in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. No, I don't laugh at the dirty jokes, the off color, as some would say. No compromise. See, that's what conforming, the deception of conforming is that it causes the believer to compromise. You accept what the world says we ought to accept. We look at things. I'm talking about believers. the world bring before our eyes, in our hearing, out of their mouth, out of the thought life. The ungodliness, unrighteousness, unholiness, and there are times when we are in the midst of that and we do not confront it. There are times when God will, the Holy Spirit will lead you to walk away or to remove yourself from it, but there are times when he will cause you to have that boldness, that holy boldness, not thump over the head with the Bible or scripture, but to bring godliness into the situation and not conform or compromise. My brothers and sisters, even the things we look at on television, the things we hear and see on social media, we know we have TikTok, we have definitely have Facebook, they have Snapchat, all these things that so many voices from the world enters our ears and come before our eyes and even cause us to speak some of those things we're hearing out of the world, dressed like the world. We have to ask ourselves, where did that come from? Where did that fad come from? Where did that look come from? Who brought that into the church? Who said it was okay to have it out of the world into the church, into God's holy place? If ever we have an example of the world ought not come into the church, be brought into the church, it's Jesus cleaning the temple. You've made it a den of thieves, but my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, we are accepting some things into God's holy temple that is not of God or from God. But that spirit of conforming that's operating in the body of Christ, in the church, is that the enemy has come to deceive us into thinking we don't have all that God has given us, all that we need from God, so we got to go out and bring some things out of the world into the church so that we can get, and most of the time it says, so we can get the young people in, so that we can, you know, be conformed. No, my brothers and sisters, the church of all places ought not be the place for performance or conforming to the ways of the world. Those are operated by the spirit of the that has been brought by the enemy to deceive, to separate us, to pull us away from a holy, righteous God. So often, when believers conform, it turns into compromise. It turns into compromise because, again, we see that Paul is saying, you know, why do you think you have not received? And if you've received, why do you act like you haven't received the Holy Spirit? Why do you act like you haven't received salvation? Why do you act like you are not saved, filled with the Holy Ghost? Conform. And we know the scripture. We know the scripture. To not be conform, not be conform, not compromise to the world. And that spirit of conforming, it not only compromises, but it operates on the spirit of timidness. Timidness. You know, And that's, again, when we're around ungodly, when we are around people who are not acting like, not being godly or holy or righteous, we don't